Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is August 24th. Well, we've had some rather spectacular advances in some of the stock markets in here today. Starting in Asia, you had the Nikkei and the Australian ASX up over 3%. The Hang Seng was also up over 1.5%. And that firm tone was reflected right across the region. Taiwan, which has been relatively weak over the last couple of months, was firmer in here today. The Philippines, in particular, had a very large move to the upside and it's gone back up to test its highs. And we've seen that the positive tone that was set on Wall Street on Friday, with the S&P and the Nasdaq breaking to new recovery highs, following on from a small number of other markets doing the same thing on Thursday, has been followed through today with a large number of stock markets breaking to new recovery highs, particularly in Europe, which has been lagging over the last 3 or 4 months, particularly. And on a relative basis, we've seen that the leading markets out there, which are in commodity producing Latin America and emerging Asia, bottomed first, broke upwards from their basis first, appreciated in percentage terms the most, and are leading the world in terms of performance, have had a very, very good run to the upside. And it's not over because we're seeing that increasing numbers of them are breaking to new high ground. Brazil was another market that has moved to new recovery highs, as has Chile. And Mexico is also doing quite well. So this is a concerted move to the upside across stock markets. What we're seeing is that some of the laggards are attempting to play catch up. We've seen today that a large number of European markets broke to new recovery highs. Among these are France, Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, Sweden, Norway, Austria, Portugal, the Czech Republic, and Poland, Hungary as well, I think. Lithuania and Latvia had very large moves to the upside, breaking emphatically upwards from their bases. And this is an indication that we're seeing more money coming back into the markets. Some of the cash that's been on the sidelines is increasingly being put back to work in stock markets, and we've seen with moves in relatively illiquid markets and smaller markets where weight of money can have a large impact, that investors are more willing to take on risk at this point. And this is it was rather an emphatic move to the upside for a large number of markets. It's bull market type activity. By definition, the surprises are going to be to the upside. But we have to bear in mind that particularly those leading markets have become relatively overextended relative to their moving averages, that we're increasingly close to a reversionary type move that will bring them back towards their mean. And the move that we saw in China over the last 2 weeks is something of a template that we may see in some of these high flying markets. China is interesting in the fact that it came sharply lower over the space of just over 2 weeks, found support in the region of the round 3,000 level, relatively close to its moving average, and has rallied since. It's in an accumulation zone for long investors, but also the fact that it was able to find support above its 200-day moving average, and I think we can give the upside the benefit of the doubt in the absence of a move below last week's lows, is a rather good template for what we can expect to see in some of these other markets, because the better performers are becoming somewhat overextended. And we're seeing that the catch-up moves that we're seeing in some of the European markets, by just they have, I suppose, the log scale on their side because their comparative values are relatively lower. A smaller number of points will produce a larger percentage gain, whereas you would need a higher number of points move to push some of these high-flying markets to similar percentage type gains from here on out. So we're going to see The likely outcome, I think, is that we're going to see some of the lagging markets moving into a short-term period of outperformance. That certainly doesn't mean that they're going to outperform over the medium to longer term, because we have had a two-tier type market for the entire time since Lehman Brothers crashed out of the world stage. And what we've seen is that in this two-tier world, the countries that have had less to do with the credit crisis have been less leveraged and have greater GDP growth are performing best. And on the other hand, those that have the greatest exposure to the credit crisis have had bust housing and credit bubbles and are running massive deficits in order to attempt to socialize some of the massive debt that is out there, are at a competitive disadvantage over the medium to longer term. Monetary conditions remain accommodative, and there has been quite a bit of speculation about which country was going to raise interest rates first. That was answered today. Israel raised interest rates by a quarter of 1 point. So this is the first straw in the wind that indicates that the monetary cycle has bottomed. We're not going to see very much more in the way of interest rate cuts, and indeed that's probably impossible for a large number of the larger capitalization markets out there. What we will continue to see is that the countries most affected by the credit crisis are likely to be the ones slowest to raise interest rates. That has potentially profound consequences for their relative currencies, because if we see that emerging markets have the best growth prospects, are the better stock market performers, and have less need to cut interest rates, well, the one hard fundamental you've got in currency markets is interest rate differentials. And if that differential is moves from contraction to expansion relative to currencies such as the dollar, the euro, and the pound, and indeed the yen, then there is a strong argument for emerging market currencies to get stronger against what are often deemed to be reserve currencies. And certainly the carry trade that one could earn on that basis would be really quite considerable. So that could in itself be the foundation for a bull market in emerging markets and in commodity producing countries. What we continue to see is that the dollar has been quite steady against currencies such as the euro and the pound and the yen, where it's been ranging for much of the last few months. Where it has been comparatively weak has been against some of the Asian currencies and against the Latin American dollar index, which is dominated by commodity producers, particularly Brazil and Mexico. And that's probably a trend that's going to continue for a considerable period of time, because these countries are in a better economic position, and that's not likely to change unless we see very strong growth coming back in, or that this recession ends not only sooner than many were expecting, but that the impact of the burst bubbles in credit and in housing have less than the effect that many are predicting, and that is still an uncertainty. So there is an argument for being long both of emerging markets and emerging market currencies. In the commodity field, with economic growth picking up and with legitimate questions being asked about how much the currencies of the world have been diluted, then there is also an argument for having hard assets. And the commodity complex was relatively quiet in here today, but has shown quite impressive relative strength, particularly in the industrial metals, energy, and agriculturals over the last few months. Gold continues to range in the region of $950. It was up over $10 on Friday. It was down $12 in here today. It is still in this difficult period of consolidation, and there is still the likelihood that we're going to see a move to the upside at some point later this year, but it's going to need some form of catalyst, and what that exactly is isn't apparent just yet. Interestingly, the silver price was relatively quiet and finished up above the or held above the $14 level in here today, excuse me. And platinum was a little bit weaker, but still holding above this $1,200 level. The most consistent pattern that we have out there in the precious metals at the moment is in palladium, and it's in the region of its recovery highs, around $286, and remains really quite consistent and has been pumping out new highs and higher lows for a number of months now, quietly and surely progressing in what is really quite a consistent advance. And it's palladium, of course, is difficult to trade because the spreads are really quite wide, and it is considerably less liquid than its partners in the precious metal arena. But quiet day today in the commodity markets. The industrial metals were relatively steady, having been quite firm last week. The currency markets were also relatively steady in here, although the pound was weaker against the euro, pushing up towards the 87 p level. Government bonds were a bit stronger. The 30-year US dollar had posted a key reversal from the top upper side of its range on Friday, and that was almost completely countermanded in here today. So in our analysis, we would give the benefit of the doubt to the last dynamic, and that was today, which would suggest that we're going to see slightly higher government bond prices. But government bonds generally have been very erratic over the last couple of weeks, JGBs in particular, and we've seen some large moves both up and down, as the argument for holding government bonds is waged with fervor on both sides, on both the bullish and the bearish side. There was news item today also talking about a large move in the 2-year yield. Of course, that has been one of the vehicles that people who wanted to seek security in short-term deposits were buying into. And because we saw that Wall Street closed relatively well, closed flat on the day but off its highs, the move was muted towards the close. But what we can anticipate is that yields will begin to rise if these stock markets continue to hold above their bases. If the S&P continues to hold above 1,000 and improves upon this position, then the need to hold short-term deposits will be considerably less, and yields will begin to rise over the medium term. We're nowhere near where yields would be competitive to stock market performance, but that is something that will help to derail what is a very good medium-term move at some point down the line. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.